The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, October 16th, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Hospitals Host Free Breast Cancer Checks, by Caitlin Klepek. Normal. In recognition of National Mammography Day on Friday, Carle Health and OSF Healthcare will offer free screenings at locations across central Illinois. In normal, individuals age 40 to 64 who are uninsured or underinsured may walk in for a free screening at Carl Broneman Medical Center, 1304 Franklin Avenue, between 8:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. We are thrilled to empower individuals, whether or not they are patients, at Carl Broneman. This presents a chance for them to take proactive steps in managing their health, stated Beth Gedina, Director of Imaging Services at Carl Broneman, in a news release. Early detection is crucial for surviving a breast cancer diagnosis. In Peoria, the OSF Healthcare Cancer Institute at 1310 North Missouri Avenue is hosting a one-stop cancer screening event from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. for women ages 40 and up. This event will offer education on cancer prevention and screenings for cervical, colon, breast, lung, oral, and skin cancers. Those who visit the OSF Cancer Institute in Peoria can also attain genetic risk assessments and wellness checks through the OSF Caravan. Screening guidelines must be met for services to be completed, and some screenings will be free, while others will be billed to insurance, OSF officials said. Walk-ins are welcome. For those without insurance, OSF works through a program with the Illinois Department of Public Health to provide free screening mammograms, which would otherwise be covered by private insurance. Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths in women, according to the American Cancer Society, and the second most common cancer among women in the United States, following skin cancers. The ACS noted 30% of all new cancers diagnosed in women each year are breast cancer. The ACS also reports 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with some form of breast cancer in their lifetime. And yet, there are 4 million breast cancer survivors in the United States, and when mammograms are used for early detection, it leads to early treatment and better chances of survival. Be their own advocates. Although most mammogram reports bring good news, Carle Health said women sometimes put off getting a mammogram out of fear that a doctor will find something wrong. Even if a lump is detected, 8 out of 10 are not cancer, a news release from Carle noted. However, in the event of cancer, the survival rate approaches 100% for women whose tumors are detected and treated, the release said. Dr. Mathilde Francois, a surgical oncology and general surgery doctor with interests in breast cancer at the Carle Cancer Institute in Normal, emphasized the importance of regular screenings to allow doctors to identify any issues with the breast before it becomes a greater issue. It allows us to treat them with ease or limited interventions, Francois said. She compared mammograms to checking for a leak within your home. If they find a small leak, it's less disastrous. That's where mammograms shine. Although mammograms cannot prevent disease, Francois said they do allow doctors to be able to identify issues that can become more serious down the line and to determine whether a patient is at risk. Breast cancer mostly occurs in middle-aged and older women, with the median age at the time of breast cancer diagnosis at 62, according to the ACS. But Francois said she has seen a trend in younger patients getting breast cancer more often than the typical median age ranges. The doctor said this trend has been seen across almost all cancers. She advises patients to watch for any changes to their bodies, especially any new mass, lump, dimpling, or retraction, which may be a red flag for cancer. I often encourage patients that are young that just because you are young doesn't mean you're too young. It's not as common, but it does happen, Francois said. She added that some physicians might suspect cancer due to a patient's age, but she encourages patients to be their own advocates. Francois also advises patients to be aware of their family history, which can indicate if they may be at an increased risk for breast cancer. One of the biggest myths I bust in my office is that if they don't have a family history, their risk is significantly lower, Francois said. Any person who is born with the potential to develop breasts is at a 1 in 8 chance of developing breast cancer. Having family history can increase that chance. Francois suggests that individuals ages 25 and up fill out a questionnaire called the Tyrer-Cuzick Risk Assessment Calculator, which can help them identify personal risk factors for breast cancer and to repeat this test every few years. The risk of cancer is sometimes multifactorial, Francois said. National Mammography Day. This week's free breast cancer screenings are provided by Carl Broman Medical Center, Carl Cancer Institute Normal, and Prairie State Women's Health, and made possible in part by a grant from the Illinois Department of Public Health's Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Program, a news release on the event stated. In addition to the screenings being offered in Normal, the following locations will also be open for screenings from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday. Carl Health Pekin Hospital, 600 South 13th Street, Pekin. Carl Health Proctor Hospital, 5409 North Knoxville Avenue, Peoria. Carl Health Methodist North, just off North Allen Road, 2338 West Van Winkle Way, Peoria. The latest machines with curved breast paddles for comfort will be used for the mammograms, and each visitor will be asked to provide proof of age and proof of income in order to participate. Clients without such documentation are welcome to come anyway and will be asked to complete income statements upon arrival. If possible, attendees should bring proof of age in the form of a driver's license, state ID, or birth certificate, and proof of income for the client and spouse if married, a pay stub dated within the last 30 days, or an income tax return with only adjusted gross income listed. To have a screening at OSF, you can begin at age 40 without a doctor's order, if you don't have symptoms. If you are experiencing symptoms, you may require an order from a medical provider to get a diagnostic mammogram. Those with a family history should speak with their primary care provider to determine if they should start screenings sooner than age 40. For more information about Carl screening or qualification guidelines, call 309-268-2662. To schedule a screening with Carl in the future, patients may request an appointment through MyCarl. Call 309-268-5705 or contact their primary care physician. For questions regarding OSF Cancer Institute's Peoria screenings, call 309-555-1234. And a sidebar tells us if you go, what? Free mammography day in Normal. When? 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Friday, October 17th. Where? Carl Broman Medical Center, 1304 Franklin Avenue, Normal. Cost free. For more information, 309-268-2662. The next local story is headlined, State Farm, Illinois AG sues insurer. State investigation seeks data on claims, premiums collected. By Drew Zimmerman. Bloomington. The Illinois Attorney General's Office has filed suit against State Farm, alleging the insurance giant has refused to comply with regulatory examination into its homeowners' insurance policy. The Illinois Department of Insurance opened an investigation into State Farm's homeowners' insurance policies and premiums in November 2024. As part of its examination, IDOI seeks nationwide data about State Farm's homeowner policies, including the total premiums collected by State Farm, the types of policy coverage and insurance limits, and the number of claims against those policies. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul said in a news release that state insurance departments are the primary regulators of insurance companies, so it is crucially important for State Farm to cooperate with the Department of Insurance's oversight of its business practices. State Farm's obstruction does not just violate the law, Raoul said in the release. It prevents the Department of Insurance from obtaining information to help make sure all Illinois homeowners are being treated fairly. For alleged violations of the Illinois Insurance Code, Raoul is asking the court to order State Farm to comply with the examination and provide information that will help assess the challenges of the homeowners insurance market. According to a statement from State Farm, the company maintains it did not violate the law, and the lawsuit has nothing to do with Illinois customers or the cost of their insurance. State Farm remains committed to collaborating with the Illinois Department of Insurance to benefit Illinois customers, the statement read. We value our partnerships with state leaders and continue to work together toward finding solutions that allow us to best serve customers and promote a healthy and competitive insurance market. In July, State Farm announced it would be raising homeowners' insurance rates in Illinois by 27.2% in response to catastrophic losses generated by recent extreme weather events. Insufficient premiums to cover claims and the rising cost of repairs were also cited. The rate hike, which was expected to affect about 1.5 million policyholders, prompted Governor J.B. Pritzker to call on state lawmakers to pass legislation in the fall veto session that would give more authority in the regulation of homeowners' insurance rates. After learning of the lawsuit, Senator Michael Hastings, Democrat of Frankfort, said in a news release that he will be filing legislation to strengthen oversight and improve transparency between consumers and insurers. The Attorney General's lawsuit against State Farm highlights something we have all been talking about, transparency and fairness, Hastings said in the release. Homeowners deserve to know why rates are going up and whether they are being treated fairly. And here's a story entitled Home Gift of New Beginning. CIVC volunteers build house in Lincoln for homeless vet wife by Djack Alkier. Lincoln. For the first time in nearly 6 months, Randy Lane has his own four walls and a roof over his and his wife's heads. But it's more than just a 675-square-foot house with locking doors. It's a functioning laundry room. It's cups and plates in the cupboard. It's a new fridge and a gift card for groceries. It's air conditioning. It's a recliner. Is that mine? He asked as the comfy chair caught his eye during his first tour of the home. I had no idea about the recliner. It was all gifted to Randy and Sam Lane on Tuesday night by the Central Illinois Veterans Commission after a brief ceremony and dedication. The Lanes are the ninth family to receive a home from the nonprofit headquartered in Lincoln that builds tiny homes for veterans facing homelessness. The Lanes had been living out of a car for several months before moving into a local shelter. Tuesday night was the first night they spent in their own home. Sam Lane, for her part, was overcome with emotions and at a loss for words about what this meant for her. Just everything in general, she said, choking back tears. Just a whole new beginning. Heartfelt mission. CIVC holds a variety of fundraisers to finance the homes, roughly $90,000 each. But each plot of land where the houses sit, 7 in Lincoln and 2 in Atlanta, had been donated, said board member Marcia Fernandez. Veterans are selected through an application process. The foundation started in 2018 with Marine Corps veteran Joe Shaler as board chairman, and the first home, dedicated in 2021, went to Scott Jackson. Jackson was on hand Tuesday night to congratulate the Lanes. So was Lincoln Mayor Tracy Welch, also a board member of CIVC. Shaler had just a heartfelt mission, which we've continued to carry on, said Welch, himself an Army veteran. And I wanted to give back again to other veterans who really need the help and assistance we provide. Shaler died in 2024. Fernandez took over as board chair before Casey Cook assumed the position earlier this year. This home was built not only with nails and boards, but with love and unwavering support from the whole community, Cook said, during Tuesday's ceremony. Volunteers build the homes in stages from foundation to framing to completing the interiors, including the wiring. Once one is complete, volunteers decorate the inside of the homes with furniture and patriotic artwork and provide table settings and utensils, said board member Annie Kors. Then CIVC holds a ceremony and dedication of the home. The deed to the property is held by CIVC, who also maintains property insurance. The veteran tenant is responsible for renter's insurance, regular upkeep, and property taxes, unless exempt through a disability status. After 10 years, the property is gifted to the veteran. If a veteran tenant needs to move out and is able to find housing before that period is up, CIVC can gift the home to another veteran in need. Peace. Around 50 community members showed up for the dedication, at 520 Short 10th Street, where Randy Lane was handed the keys to his home. Even the local Cub Scout, Troop Number 101, was on hand to sing the national anthem and provide the American flag for the front porch. The Scout Troop is active in many aspects of the Logan County community, said Megan Clem, the Scout's Cubmaster. But this is really the first time that we have been out with veterans and helping in this manner, she said. And so it was a really great experience to see and great for them to learn this. It was an emotional experience for many, Clem included. I actually almost got tears to my eyes, you know, this evening with watching these scouts out in the community helping, she said. Randy Lane was surprised by the number of people who fought to improve his and his wife's lives. I didn't realize how big my family really was, he said, wearing a red CIVC shirt. I mean, I love each and every one of these people here. I do. That love from the community is genuinely felt by the people in CIVC. I've been emotional all week, Coers said. I've been crying. Knowing his struggles, I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. Peace, she said, pausing, taking the moment in. It gives me peace. And a sidebar tells us how to help. To find out more about how to volunteer or donate, visit www.civeteran.org/ways-to-give. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance, visit www.civeteran.org/tiny-home-application. The next story is entitled Peoria Man Accused of Burglary by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A Peoria man accused of breaking into a Carlock home has been released from jail. Philip N. Trout, 42, is charged with one count of residential burglary, a Class 1 felony. He appeared in custody Tuesday before Judge Amy McFarland for a detention hearing, during which the judge heard argument on whether or not he qualified for pretrial detention. Assistant State's Attorney David Fitt filed a petition to detain Trout, arguing he poses risk too great to be mitigated by lesser conditions than detention. According to the prosecution's probable cause statement, a Carlock woman reported to police on October 12th that the defendant was at her residence on North Church Street and was possibly armed, Fitt said. In the days leading up to October 12th, Trout had called the woman more than 20 times and left several voicemails, the prosecutor noted. The woman told police Trout had threatened to shoot her on October 11th, and McLean County deputies confirmed the defendant had made multiple threats, including threats on her life and another man's life, Fitz said. When deputies arrived at the woman's house, they found Trout's vehicle in the driveway, but received no response at the door. Deputies waited outside for roughly an hour before they saw Trout inside the residence and demanded he exit. Trout complied, and deputies took him into custody without incident. Police reported he smelled strongly of alcohol and told them the house was still his, Fitz said. The woman told police Trout had moved out in July and was not allowed to return. After his arrest, police learned Trout had taken several of the woman's belongings from the house, including medication, toothbrush, toothpaste, and her keys, Fitz said. After his arrest, police found a firearm at the defendant's mother's home in Peoria. Fit noted Trout's firearm owner's identification card is expired, and he could be followed with an FOID card violation. In arguing for his release, Assistant Public Defender Stuart Wallace said Trout was not in possession of a weapon at the time of his arrest, noting the defendant's mother had hidden the gun. In response, Fitt asked, "Why does his very own mother feel it's important that he doesn't have a firearm?" Fitt also noted the woman who knew Trout had access to a firearm had reported Trout made both suicidal and homicidal statements within the last month. Wallace argued Trout could be released with conditions to mitigate his risk, including an alcohol evaluation. He also noted Trout had lived in the residence he is accused of burglarizing for more than 10 years. Fitt argued he should be detained and said Trout was in violation of court orders by committing this new offense since he is on conditional discharge in a Peoria County case. The prosecutor said Trout did not have a lengthy criminal history, but it includes a previous violation of court orders, which resulted in resentencing. McFarland found the defendant's risk could be mitigated by measures other than detention and ordered his release. The judge ordered Trout to have no contact with the woman named as a victim in this case and the Carlock address, undergo a drug and alcohol evaluation and a mental health evaluation, and complete any recommended treatment. She also ordered Trout not to consume or possess any alcohol, cannabis, or controlled substances without a valid prescription, not to use or possess a firearm, ammunition, or any kind of dangerous weapon, and to report to pretrial supervision. And here is an item entitled RAB to see lane reduction. Normal. As of Monday morning, there is a lane reduction due to pavement repair on West RAB Road between the Constitution Trail and just west of the Corn Crib Arena. Drivers are urged to use caution when traveling through the area. The lane reduction is expected to be completed by 3 p.m. October 22nd, weather permitting. Visit arcg.is/1KUJJA3 to see a map of the area online. Call 309-454-9638 for more information or to ask questions. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for October 16th. Please stay tuned.